Hello, thank you for joining us for the Dialogue Out Loud podcast. My name is Teresa Wilborn, Dialogue's poetry editor. Founded in 1966, Dialogue is the oldest independent journal of Mormonism, publishing scholarship, poetry, art, and fiction on the Latter-day experience. Today, we are in conversation with poet Maria Mortensen Davis, published in our most recent issue, Spring 2025. Okay, by way of introduction, I'd like to share a brief bio on Maria. A poet, amateur naturalist, and at-home parent in her family, she lives in Utah County with her husband and four children, where she spends as much time as possible outside. The two poems we are pleased to have published in our issue currently are Holy Places and Dowser's Prayer. We will come to those in just a bit and have a conversation on those two beautiful poems. In addition, Maria has been published elsewhere. Segala, she's published poems there as recently as August 2024 and November as well of last year. The two poems therein were High Priestess and Miracles. In Erie Antrim, she's had three poems published, God Remembered Maria, Living Water, and A New Creature. And also Exponent 2, last summer, she had two poems published there as well. Okay, so Maria, we have a few questions for you tonight, and we're so happy to have you. As a student, an observer, and participant in the natural world, how does your real life experience inform your writing? So we'd like you to consider that. And while you're considering it, I would like to share a brief quote by Ruth Stone, who was a two-time Guggenheim Fellowship winner, as well as a writer of 13 books of poetry. So she knew her stuff. She stated, "I've been writing poetry since I was 5 or 6 years old. I don't know why I did it. It was like a stream that went along beside me. My life went along. I got married and had three kids and did all the things you have to do. And all along the time, the stream was going along. And I really didn't know what it was saying. It just talked to me and I wrote it down. So I can't even take much credit for it." End quote. Okay, so do you have any thoughts then on the writing process or how nature speaks to you in that regard and how that informs your writing?
Yeah, that quote is really resonant actually with my experience. I also feel like I've been writing things down my whole life, writing poems down almost without quite understanding what I was doing. It feels very much like my native language. I've taken classes in essays and in other forms, and it feels like I'm translating myself. So poetry does feel like my native tongue in some ways. And it often does feel like it's something that exists outside of me. And if I position myself correctly, I can tap into it and absorb a little bit of that stream. It very much depends on the day, how much I feel like I can access. And I'm still trying to fine tune if there are things in my control that will help me access that stream. But occasionally I'm up in the night writing down words as fast as I can, trying to absorb what I feel like is coming to me fully formed. And I couldn't even quite tell you exactly where it was coming to me from, but that quote is very familiar to me.
Thank you, Maria. I like how I heard you say phrases will come to you fully formed, right? And I think that is so much like in the magical realm of writing poetry. I feel like as a poet that we speak a different language, you know, have an attention, which might sound cliche to our listeners and watchers, but I do really definitely feel that as well. Okay. So, we've arrived at your beautiful poetry. Would you like to share an excerpt from one of them?
I would love to. Thank you. This is just the very end. The last two stanzas of my poem, Holy Places. Raise me red-tailed hawks, chanterelles, pinyon pine. I might listen. I don't want a world too wonderful to imagine. I want this one. What sacraments have I passed up on the straight and narrow freeway to salvation? I once asked my father-in-law the name of the delicate silver-blue plants that mound into the Idaho distance, so lovely I ached. Nothing but sagebrush. Show me, then, the border of Eden.
Thank you. The first time I read that poem, I was stunned. I think this is beautiful writing. It speaks to so many experiences, I think. I like your reference to salvation, to the joy in the immediate, right? As opposed to waiting for some heavenly celestial kingdom or other realm that might feel so far away. When, for example, speaking to the experience of motherhood, it's very in the moment, the nursing, diapering, birthing, making meals, all that entails in a stay-at-home care provider situation. I saw that angle. I also appreciate how you have what I sense is a reverence for even sagebrush, right? Some people may think, sagebrush, what's that? And as a Southern Nevadan, sagebrush is, I love the smell of sagebrush in the desert rain. Mm-hmm. And there are so many elements in this and actually all of your writing that I've discovered. The silver blue, like that attention to color. Someone might just dismiss, you're in a car or even on a walk, and where folks might be dismissive of native plants, I really feel your attention and poetic eye speak so clearly in this. So,
oh, thank you.
Yes.
I am a very slow person to hike with.
Okay. Well, we should go together then.
It's all about small details. I'm identifying plants with my phone app and I'm listening for birds. And it is a very slow experience if you hike with me.
That's cool. That's great. I also would like to mention before we step away from the poem, simply that the ending, Show Me Then the Border of Eden. I have read so many poems that don't stick the ending. And similar to maybe a gymnast sticking a landing, right? Okay. The Olympics, they do a performance and stick a landing. And like when they've stuck it, you can tell.
Yeah.
And this poem, that ending sticks so solidly. It leaves me with a resonance and a thoughtfulness and really invites me to consider how I view my experience in nature. So
thank you.
Yeah. And I might have shared this here before, but you know, in the Mormon realm, we talk about scripture, and my scripture truly is poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself a student, not a good person memorizing, right, nor of a scriptorian with, you know, Book of Mormon, Bible, etc. But when it comes to poetry, mm-hmm. right, I do feel like it speaks a different language and one that that I really respect. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Okay, what any other thoughts you have? Maybe how you came to write The Holy Places, anything that spurred the writing of that, or similarly with Dowser's Prayer, your other poem?
Yeah, well, everything, I have a, maybe it's a limitation of imagination, but everything I write is so autobiographical. It feels very vulnerable because I can hardly make anything up. And so this, all of these are things that I love. These are important images to me. And I think it was, as you mentioned, motherhood being so present, I think it was the experience of having my first baby where my spirituality changed a little bit from being very ethereal and very forward focused toward a next life or a things that are not seen, and became very physical. It's a very physical spirituality, whether that is the service or the physical, physiological processes of motherhood or the service that my body still provides my children throughout the day. And then also incorporates the beauty of the place where we live. I live in Utah Valley and I am stunned every day at the mountains. I didn't grow up around them and I can't get enough. We live here because we love the mountains. That's the reason. And specifically for the last year or so, I have been volunteering at a wildlife rehabilitation center, which is the greatest delight, but I get to work really closely with birds of prey. And that has been a an enormous influence in feeling a power outside of the human powers that I'm accustomed to, and a way of feeling the beautiful and deadly power of the divine in my life that comes to me through experiences with the natural world.
Wow. You know, in just our conversation now, it's as if we touch immortality, right? Or a celestial realm through our contact with even our pet dogs, right? Our pets are,
yes.
We're in an area of the country where outside we have owls, we have a few different birds of prey, smaller ones, and even deer. And yeah, it's very awe-inspiring, which again might sound cliche-ish, but when you're in your kitchen, right, and I look out, we had a deer once caught in our backyard and it was leaping around trying to find a way out, and it did. But I held my breath because I've seen videos of deer going through windows, you know, and glass doors where they're running and they're confused. So, but anyway, yeah, wildlife is definitely gives us pause. And I'm grateful every day for the poetic sensibility of, you know, that gives one pause to observe and to appreciate what I feel like is such a rapid stream of life. Poetry gives us those moments. And also, to speak to motherhood again briefly, one reason I came to poetry is because it's something I felt I could write and feel accomplished in a very short period of time, not having written poems much longer than maybe 3 or 4 pages ever. But, you know, something short, succinct, and then hopefully meaningful. And I just love that we can have these bite-sized, here's one of your poems here, I have all marked up. You know, something we can put in our pocket, right?
Yeah,
that also April is National Poetry Month. So
I had forgotten.
Yeah. So I like to talk about putting a poem in your pocket. But so anyway, lots of reasons to celebrate your writing, motherhood always, I think, and that experience of a woman and a being on earth. So I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. For folks out there, you'll definitely want to read our latest issue, Spring 2025. Check out Maria's poetry, as well as poetry from other well-known and beloved writers. Thank you for listening today and for watching. Please share this podcast with a friend, and check out our lineup of podcasts in the Dialogue Podcast Network, including Latter-day Struggles, Living Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, and more. Dialogue Out Loud is produced and edited by Daniel Foster Smith, and our executive producers are Emily Jensen and Taylor Petrie. Thank you so much.
Greetings, my name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.